You're listening to Stateside. I'm April Baer. Amid all the news about the coronavirus, it might be easy to forget that a very consequential primary election played out across Michigan last night. And we are looking at the results today with help from Jonathan Kinlock, chair of the 13th Congressional District Democrat for the Democratic Party. He's also third vice chair of the Michigan Democratic Party. Jonathan, welcome back to Stateside. Good to have you.
Thanks for inviting me.
And Zach Gorchow is here, too, executive editor and publisher of the news service Gong War Michigan. Hi, Zach.
Hello there.
So where were you both on election night? Jonathan, where did you decide to spend your time?
I was stuck right in front of my TV watching the results come in from across the country, but specifically waiting on those results from Michigan.
Very much. Zach, how about you? Where did you end up?
You know, I've got 40 tabs open on my web browser tracking election results and my computer in the office.
Man, whatever happened to the good old days of watch parties? I kind of miss that.
Well, everybody, it seems like at least I called around to a number of organizations to find out whether or not there were any watch parties. And particularly with the Biden camp, there were no organized watch parties.
Well, that's just sad. Let's get to the results, though. Wayne County went for Joe Biden on a margin of nearly 20 percentage points. I mean, all in all, this was a huge night for Joe Biden in Michigan. But if we talk for a minute just about Metro Detroit, was that surprising to either of you?
Well no. I mean, I think if you look at Oakland, Wayne, Macomb counties, these were counties that Hillary Clinton won 4 years ago over Bernie Sanders. So I think everyone was pretty confident Joe Biden would win those counties. What I think stood out was how much he increased his margins of victory in Oakland and Macomb, dramatically increased them, though Wayne County ended up being closer, actually, than it was 4 years ago.
Yeah. Jonathan, what did you think? Were you surprised by the final tabulations?
Well, not with the Wayne, Oakland, Macomb County, but of course, you know, throughout this primary season, you had the Bernie supporters pretty much talking about this youth revolution, and you did not necessarily see that in Washington County. So I was surprised that but by how many counties the vice president did best Bernie Sanders. So I was, you know, I had a gut feeling that Biden would win, but he really won all of the counties in the state. So that was surprising.
We were taking a look at the election results just within the city of Detroit, though. We haven't been able to get someone on the phone at the clerk's office to confirm with this, but we noticed that there were actually fewer votes cast in the Democratic primary yesterday in Detroit than in the 2016 primary. Jonathan, would that be surprising to you based on what you were seeing in the precincts?
Well, no, but let me say this. Because I kept getting calls from folks, like I said, as chair of the congressional district, asking whether or not we were going to have any GOTV efforts or whether or not we were going to be covering the polls. But the Biden campaign had no paid poll workers out there. So there wasn't a major push from the campaign. These votes that you saw yesterday were organic. They were just they weren't because of any flushing operations or any of those traditional things that you will see occurring in a general election. So so it wasn't a surprise because there wasn't, keep in mind, Biden did not have any money, at least that was spent here in Michigan.
Right. I mean, I guess it was a 5 or 6 person race just days before the Michigan primary. But I mean, you're saying it's not a worry that he hadn't been on the ground in Michigan before this happened?
Well, no, let me say this, not at all, because what this these results say from yesterday in Michigan, as well as what it said across the country, because from what I'm hearing, there wasn't much money spent from the Biden campaign in any of these recent primaries and caucuses, because they basically had few dollars to work with. No, so this here was, you're talking about, some folks was talking about the establishment pushing Biden. No, this is totally folks just going out, knowing what we want to do and what they wanted to do in this election. So it wasn't like it was a lot of money that was spent. Weeks ago, of course, there was a lot of money here in the area being spent by Bloomberg. And a lot of folks were leaning towards Bloomberg because the media and a lot of folks thought that Joe Biden's run for the nomination was pretty much done for right mm-hmm. before South Carolina.
Right. Zach Gorchow, you said you'd be keeping an eye on Kent County last night, and wow, what a stunner. You want to recap why you were interested and what ended up happening?
Yeah, that's pretty fascinating. So Bernie Sanders defeated Hillary Clinton by about 22, 23 percentage points in Kent County 4 years ago. It was a massive number. It was a shocking number, one that I didn't and most did not see coming, and was really indicative of just how much he succeeded outside of Metro Detroit. But I was really interested in it because Kent County is showing some signs of being kind of like Oakland County lately, where you have large numbers of suburban voters with college degrees, higher incomes, and they are starting to vote more and more Democratic. We saw that especially in the 2018 midterm election. These are the kinds of voters Joe Biden seems to be doing well with. So I was interested to see, could the numbers Sanders put up 4 years ago there withstand this apparent Biden surge? And the answer was no. Biden actually won the county narrowly, very narrowly, but that he won a county that Bernie Sanders won by 23 points 4 years ago was really something.
Yeah, I don't know if you were following the returns in Livingston County. That's a place that was key to Alyssa Slotkin's congressional victory in the 8th District 2 years ago. But it looked like turnout was way up. What makes that happen in a traditionally conservative district?
Well, Livingston is it used to be maybe one of the two most Republican counties in the state. It's been a Republican bastion forever. And let's be clear, it's still a Republican bastion.
Mm-hmm.
However, it has lost some of that overwhelming Republican nature because, again, if you look around the Brighton area in particular, large numbers of voters with bachelor's degrees. You've also seen out-migration coming up I-96 as people move out from Southfield, Novi, Farmington Hills, moving out into Livingston County, and moving north from Ann Arbor, too. It's a real commuter area. So Livingston County, it's still a Republican county, make no mistake about it, but the days of it being, you know, the kind of county that puts up 70 to 75% of its vote for Republicans, that might be changing now.
Huh. I wanted to ask what you two think the Biden campaign needs to do next. Jonathan Kinloch, do you think there are ways that Joe Biden needs to evolve before November as the next phase of the election gears up?
Absolutely. One, he has to build an infrastructure. The way the campaign operated in this presidential primary period cannot be the same.
With no money, right?
With no money and no real boots on the ground. I mean, there was really zero boots on the ground. So that is not what you're going to, imagine a winning campaign to look like come November. And, of course, many of the unions and many of the organizations pretty much stood silent and did not endorse in this primary. So you're going to, of course, have a lot of organizations, institutions, Democratic Party doing huge GOTV efforts. So it will be totally different. But he has to stick on the message on pocketbook issues. And, of course, we can't just totally depend upon the dislike and the in the era of Trump with what's going on in Washington. We have to have sound policies, sound issues, and stay focused on what conversations matter most to Michiganders. And right now, health care and affordable wages and like I said, pocketbook issues, that's what folks want to pretty much hear about.
Right. Zach Gorchow, did you see Joe Biden's speech last night?
Well, I did not, but I certainly heard that it was very loud. Biden, I don't think anybody's going to confuse him with being a great orator. He gave a very good speech on Super Tuesday night, which I did see, which I thought was very enthusiastic. I thought you saw, the excitement of a candidate. This is his third time running, and he finally had, more than just South Carolina, to win so many states. He had a huge night, and that came through. But he has a tendency sometimes to confuse volume for enthusiasm. And, you know, that's going to be a challenge for him. I mean, look, this is a guy who's been in politics for, what, 4 decades at least? So
right.
It's a little hard to change your ways. But in the end, I don't think anybody is going to vote for Joe Biden or not going to vote for Joe Biden or vote for Trump based on Joe Biden's oratorical style.
He was sounding kind of measured last night, but I guess we'll have to check back in and see if his tone changes through this time. Zach Gorchow is executive editor and publisher of Gongwer News Service. Zach, thank you.
Thank you.
And we've been talking with Jonathan Kinlock, chair of the 13th Congressional District for the Democratic Party. Jonathan, you take care.
Thank you.